up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And good morning, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Glad you could be with us. The NBA draft coming up on Thursday night. You know, the NBA draft is, I love that night. But it's only one night. That's one of the reasons why it can't do like what the NFL does. It could probably go to different cities, but it would never have that same celebratory feel. I think one of the things about the NFL draft is when they extended it all through the weekend, it allows for that huge party-like atmosphere that you can have that goes on for a few days and the cities can enjoy it. I think a one-stop, that's it, we're wrapping this thing up in one day, doesn't have the same effect. But nevertheless, one of the things about the NBA draft and why it's so popular is because fortunes can change instantly. You can go from a lottery team, perpetual lottery team, to making the playoffs every single year with just one selection. I saw it in Denver with the Nuggets when they drafted Carmelo Anthony. They immediately made the postseason. The New Orleans Pelicans are in a position to make a big splash because they're going to get Zion Williamson. And because of the trade with Anthony Davis and trading him to the Lakers, they get the fourth pick as well. So they get two picks in the top five in this year's draft. If you're Memphis, for example, and you're going to take Ja Morant, could change your franchise as you look to move on from Mike Conley. The Knicks have the third pick, right? I mean, there's all sorts of ways that you can process this in a mock draft setting to see the changing fortunes of what is going on. But nothing looks more changing in terms of the landscape of the Western Conference than the Lakers acquiring Anthony Davis. It shakes up so much of the NBA offseason conversation. Does Kawhi Leonard find the Lakers now even more attractive than he did before he got traded over to Toronto and wanted to go to LA in the first place? Does he stay in Toronto after the celebration last night despite the shooting that happened at the parade? But nevertheless, the celebration of the city and giving them a championship, does he find some sort of kindred spirit in the people of Toronto? There is so much about the way the NBA is going to look this summer. And to be honest with you, I can't wait, because this is kind of the fun part of the NBA season. Because again, one player moving from one team to another can change up the fortunes of a lot more. If you're Denver, for example, if you're the Nuggets, how do you look at the Western Conference now compared to a year in which you finished second? A lot going on. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM on a Tuesday. Glad you can be with us. The Ringer had a really good article about the Pelicans, and their headline, I think, says it all. So I want to give them credit for this. They wrote, "The Pelicans are giving Zion Williamson the future Anthony Davis never had." That says a lot in one sentence, does it not? That's the main reason Anthony Davis, it kind of is sad. It's the main reason Anthony Davis wanted traded. I'm sure, listen, I get it. Some people just want to go to LA, or they just want it, whatever it is. But I guarantee you, if Anthony Davis had players around him and they had a championship level team while he was there, he'd want to stay in New Orleans. They could pay him more money. New Orleans is a good city. You don't have to be in LA. You don't have to be in New York in this day and age to make extra money on the side, whatever it is you want to do. They never surrounded him with a talented team, and they're going to do that with Zion Williamson.
Yeah, I mean,
it is kind of sad.
It may not be widely said or widely known, but New Orleans is a good sports town.
Good town.
You see what they've done with the Saints. You see how much they rally behind the Saints. You know, Tom Benson has actually put together a really good team with the Saints and surrounded Drew Brees with pieces. Now, Drew Brees is an exceptional player as well, but they've constantly built up that team. Anthony Davis, outside of bringing in I'm not going to say an aging DeMarcus Cousins when he finally came over from the Kings, but I mean, he wasn't prime DeMarcus Cousins.
It wasn't really the answer, right?
Yeah, but that wasn't that was it though.
That was
all they ever brought over for him.
It was again, and now you're looking at what Zion Williams is going to walk into when he's drafted on Thursday night. All the Laker guys, and then the fourth pick. I mean, this is going to be a young, fun basketball team that's got a very, very bright future and a very high ceiling. This is what Anthony Davis always wanted since he arrived in New Orleans and never got, and that's one of the frustrations. It's got to be difficult when you're a player and you have these championship beliefs, and you know you want these championship dreams, right, to come true, and you have to put your faith in the people that can build a franchise around you, build a team around you. And that's all you can do is have faith in the general manager and the ownership group. And you just say, all right, I can do what I do, but I still need help. I still need all of these tools around me to build this championship. And if I'm around a GM and an owner that can't do this for me, how frustrating is that? Because you only have a certain window and then it's over. And then you're going to go, oh, I wasted my time. Rather than saying, listen, I have got to move. I have got to find a way to win a championship. If I do, if I win one, that's the pinnacle of my career. And if I don't, I'm going to be very disappointed because the money is large and I'll get used to having all that money. But finishing a career with no title, that's got to be really tough. Got to be really frustrating.
I know. I think back in the day, it would have been, a player of his caliber would want to go to a bigger market.
But, of course.
You and I have talked about it over and over again. You don't need to be in a big market anymore in the NBA.
No, you don't.
You can be anywhere. I mean, Russell Westbrook's in a small market, but he's known. He's getting the endorsement deals that he would have gotten if he was in L.A. or New York or Chicago.
Yeah, and Kevin Durant did too when he was down there.
Yeah, so I mean, we can say that about Anthony Davis, that he's gotten the endorsement deals. People know who he is. It's just, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just... It's kind of sad that he's on his way out, looking at New Orleans in the rearview mirror, going, "It's like, man, look what they're doing now. Why didn't they do this like last year, 2 years ago?
Why couldn't they put something together for something?" Exactly. But looking at the shape of the Western Conference now, you know what team I'm really worried about? Not really worried about per se. It's probably wrong use of terms, but interested to see where they're going and not really excited about where they're going. The Houston Rockets. They look like a team kind of dysfunctional right now, and.
It is almost comical.
It's got to be,
what's
right?
What's going on with them right now?
You're down there. Does Mike D'Antoni want to coach this team, or does he want to leave? I mean, what's the feel?
Mike D'Antoni, you know what he's doing? He's using your mantra. I don't want justice. I just want peace.
Yeah, okay.
So he's just sitting back, letting his two boys kind of tear each other apart until they figure it out.
Right.
I mean, there's just one report after another that, Harden and Paul are just, from what I gather, they hate each other.
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling,
too. I don't
too.
Know if that's true. I don't know if that's over, we're over sensationalizing things, but it just, you're getting to that feeling like, God, they just hate each other.
And so D'Antoni, I know, is in a pickle because his contract, he's playing in a lame duck year, and he wants renegotiate this. Let's get the extension and let's get some language in there that's beneficial to me. I get that, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, look at the way the Western Conference is shaping up now, right? Golden State's going to be down. Los Angeles is back in the playoff picture. You're seeing, New Orleans team that probably will make a push for the playoffs, but I don't know what they'll do next year. They're still young, but San Antonio is still there, right? You've got Portland still there. You got Utah, a good up and coming team. Now you got this Rockets team. There was a window of beating Golden State. There was that feeling of, man, we were so close to beating Golden State. Let's give it a good run next year. And then that closed and closed quickly. And now they're looking at a kind of a landscape of the Western Conference where I don't know where they fit. I know they're good. They're good enough with Harden to make the playoffs. I don't think there's a question about that. But not everybody in the Western Conference can win a championship. It's not like it felt a couple of years ago where you could see six deep and go, hey, listen, man, any one of these teams could end up in the finals. They're all good, right? There might be some teams that are better, but man, this is a really deep conference. It doesn't feel that way if you get the Lakers rolling along, especially if they can grab Kawhi Leonard. There's not going to be that feeling of, get in, man. Anything can happen. All these teams are good. And the Rockets window is now rapidly closing when they had Chris Paul and James Harden. As long as you have James Harden, you're going to make the playoffs. But how effective are you going to be in the postseason? I just feel like that team, I worry about them in a sense of, listen, I thought they were going to win the championship this year. I thought going into the season they were going to win the NBA title. That was my pick. Just because of how they played Golden State. And then remember early in the season they were beating Golden State in the regular season? I thought, you know what, this team might be built well enough to beat the Warriors. Right? I mean, they were playing these good regular season games. And I know some people kind of dismiss regular season games. And I know, I get it. It's 82 games, a marathon, not a sprint, right? You know, all the cliches. But it always felt to me like the Rockets were capable of beating Golden State any given night anywhere. Whether it was Oracle or at the Toyota Center, they could. And I said, when they get to the playoffs, this is their opening. They only have to beat Golden State. There's no way a Portland or a Denver team would knock out the Rockets in the Western Conference Finals. And when they couldn't, and they couldn't capitalize on the Durant injury, it felt like there was just the clock was ticking, and the alarm's going to sound, and that's it. And then they're going to strip it down and have to rebuild. If you could do it quick enough in a Western Conference, it's now getting stronger. Because if they wait, let's say Durant says, you know what, I'll stay with Golden State, or Clay says, I'll stay with Golden State. Well, then the Warriors come right back to being on top. The Lakers are going to be there. Other teams are going to improve and get better. We keep talking about this New Orleans team. Where are they going to be in 2 years, 3 years, when they get moving along? And now, if you're the Rockets, you don't have that much time to figure out how you're going to be super great in a Western Conference that's getting tougher.
I say at this point, they're out of time.
I think you're right.
I don't see how. I mean, they. If we're to believe that, you know, the Rockets are going to go ahead and just blow everything up, who are they going to get? I mean,
Where do you go?
I mean, they've missed out on opportunities. You know, when people became available. I mean, there was rumors a while back when, you know, before Jimmy Butler landed anywhere, that they were in the running to get Jimmy Butler, and that never happened. That definitely would have, you know, created something for them, but now they're at a point where, okay, you have an aging Chris Paul with a large contract. Are you able to ship him out to anybody? You know, who he seems to be more injury prone now, so he's not, you know, he's not an exciting piece. You have some young guys, but everyone on that roster seems expendable except for James Harden. Then yeah, you could probably build a team around James Harden, but it seems like the Rockets are turning into an Anthony Davis led Pelicans.
Yeah, and that's the thing for Chris Paul, because if the Rockets do find a partner that wants Chris Paul, what they're going to want is, it's going to be a team that is looking way ahead into the future, saying, well, we'll take Chris Paul now, because when that contract expires, then we'll have the room to grow. So we can put up with it for whatever's left on the deal, and then when it expires, we'll get the money. So he's not going to go to a very attractive place towards the end of his career. Because he's not going to go to a contender, right? He's not going to go to some team that's building and using their money to get big name, you know, free agents. He's going to go to somebody that says, all right, we can pick it up, but then in a couple of years when it's done, then we have the room to build our own thing.
And if
to
you
build
do
where
pick
we
him
want
up,
to go.
What really are you going to get out
you're
of it?
You're not getting that much, right? You're just looking at the contract.
But not only that, but you're absorbing his contract. And that alone is going to cripple you. I mean, so the Rockets aren't going to get much in return either.
Right, that's right. So you're sending Chris Paul to a team that wants the contract for when it expires.
Yep.
Then the Rockets can't get anything. It's not going to get anything of value from that particular team, because that's probably a team on the bottom end of the Western or Eastern Conference that's just looking to say, look, we're going to build something, but for right now, you know, we'll take Chris Paul and figure, you know, where we're going to go 2-3 years from now. That's not good for Houston. That's not going to be a good. The only thing that would help Houston is it gets rid of that deal, and they can figure out what they're going to do with the money. But I don't know. Look, I find it fascinating how the Western Conference is looking now. Just the Western Conference. I mean, the East. I talked about this yesterday with the East. Look, Toronto could lose Kawhi to the Lakers now. Boston is going to lose Kyrie. I mean, now if you're Milwaukee, you're just like, oh, great. This is great for us.
Everyone just fall apart.
Everybody fall apart.
We'll stay pat.
We're not doing anything. We're going to sign Chris Middleton. We're fine. We're good. Everybody else, figure it out. And the Sixers might be the Sixers might say the same thing, right? So, but Milwaukee definitely is looking at their own Eastern Conference going, hey, if Kawhi leaves and Boston's in a mess, well, lights out for us. We're good. We'll take it. All right, 800-777-2907. Over the weekend, there was another big trade. Not a lot of attention, but it should be. And I'll tell you what it is next, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Lon Culver, here's Tony D.
You can be with us on SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Coming up, I will tell you about a trade that happened over the weekend that I know is going to get a lot more attention as that trade starts paying off. But of course, we, you know, dealt in with the Anthony Davis trade over the weekend to really process it. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. The Yankees over the weekend traded for Edwin Encarnacion from the Seattle Mariners. He just happens to be the American League leader in home runs. Now, the Yankees have had a lot of guys on the IL, which is really getting me, it's really difficult for me to go down. I want to say DL, but I want to do it right, I guess.
Yeah, well,
Major League Baseball's terminology.
Yeah, I guess you got to be politically correct.
Got to be politically correct. It's injured
so
list. It's a disabled list.
Isn't there like a racing league that starts like IL or is that IRL or something?
It's IRL, the Indy Racing League.
Every time I see that, that's what I think about.
That's right. The IL.
Indy League.
I'm going a little nuts here. Nevertheless, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, all on the IL. Gary Sanchez is second in the majors with 20 home runs this season. Encarnacion has 21. The Yankees, Brian Cashman is basically looking at the landscape of baseball and going, you know what wins games? The long ball. Chicks like it and everybody else does too. So that's what we're going to do. Now, he needs pitching. There's no question about it. But the Yankees are going to hit a boatload of home runs this year. I mean, a massive amount of home runs. The only concern I would have if I was a Yankee fan, because here's the deal. The Yankees have fan bases all over the country, right? I mean, all over the world. They're one of those fan bases that when you go to, like, Anaheim, they'll invade there. They'll go to Texas. You know, maybe not so much in Boston, per se. But, you know, they fill up parks around the country. So it's great for buying tickets during a regular season July game when you want to see these guys just blast five or six home runs out of the ballpark, and it makes you feel good because the Yankees have got some power, and power is attractive for a fan who just loves that feeling that his team is pulling that kind of feet off. But the reality of it is in October, that shrinks and shrinks big time. And the problem is that in playoff series, if you can't hit home runs and you can't pitch very well, you're going to find yourself on the losing end of some series, right? And so the Yankees, while they got a great outing last night from Tanaka, who struck out 10 and allowed just two hits against the Rays, the Yankees need some arms. They don't necessarily need bats. But I think this is one of those trades that people should be paying attention to in baseball, because the Yankees are going to have a very, very, very difficult lineup for pitchers to go through in any part of the season, whether it's late or whether it's in October. My only concern if I was a Yankee fan was if that dries up, if the hitting dries up and it gets cold, like if they just can't hit the ball out of the park or swinging for the fences and missing, and your pitching is not good and it's not solid in the postseason, then you're going to lose playoff series, especially in a five-game set. And especially if you find yourself in the wild card matchup, like let's say you struggle and the Rays win it or the Red Sox get really, really hot or something like that, and you find yourself in the one-game wild card, you can't count on guys hitting home runs and that being your main source of offense. You've got to find ways to get guys around the bases. And just blasting the ball as much as you can is not really the answer. But it is going to be fun in the Bronx this summer, watching the Yankees hit these home runs. I mean, listen, they're going to have a lineup. Giancarlo Stanton, Gary Sanchez, Edwin Encarnacion, Aaron Judge, right? They're getting home runs from a lot of guys. Right, even DJ LeMahieu's getting home runs. I mean, it's a great, powerful lineup that just got stronger. But Cashman should not be done yet, and he's got to go get some pitching. Again, I would be thrilled. The Yankees they're the kind of team that people can't stand because this is the kind of deals that they do, right? They look and say, how do we get stronger? Oh, let's go grab a player on a team that's really doing well, on a team that doesn't want his money anymore. And the Mariners, who are in last place, who one time, by the way, started 13-2 to start the season, but now in last place, were more than happy to jettison that contract despite his production. And the Yankees went, great, we'll take him. That's awesome. We now add it to a lineup of super strength. But the Red Sox are 5.5 back. And when the Red Sox pitching is on, it's fantastic. And so I would be worried that the pitching isn't quite there for the Yankees. Tanaka is hit or miss. J.A. Happ, James Paxton has been pitching well, but that's about it. Right? Sabathia's on the IL. So if you're the Yankees, you got to get some pitching. But don't mistake this. This was a big deal. This was a big trade. I know it got overshadowed by the Anthony Davis deal because that's a bigger deal. But getting the leader, the American League leader in home runs added to a lineup that is going to get healthy, and when it does, will be one of the most formidable lineups in Major League Baseball. This is something to be worried for if you're the American League. And that includes Houston, who I think is the best team in baseball. Because when that, if that clicks, if it's on, they're going to be unbeatable. The question is, I don't always trust a home run hitting lineup. Not, you know, the idea though is not everyone is going to roll the dice and have it come up craps, right? That like you could get Giancarlo Stanton 0-for-4 and Encarnacion may go 0-for-4, but Aaron Judge might go 3-for-4 with two home runs, right? Or maybe all of them hit home runs, whatever it is. You stick them in the lineup so that pitchers can't pitch around guys and the guys are going to start hitting. But if it's cold, look out. But the Astros, I think, are the best team in baseball. So it's going to be interesting if they make it to the postseason, how that lineup's going to fare if the Yankees don't have any more arms or pitching. But they're talking about trading for Madison Bumgarner, try to revitalize his postseason run. The Yankees really got to start looking around and start asking some questions. But anyway, just thought I'd bring that up because it kind of went under the radar this weekend. But, you know, I know Anthony Davis was the bigger deal, but that's a big deal in baseball.
All right, so let's play devil's advocate, but let's, you know, just play that what if game.
Right.
When the home run derby comes around, is one side just going to be completely Yankees?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, right? Yeah.
I mean, they got
the guys want to play in it, but if they should.
I mean, you imagine them just fielding a team with Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, Edwin Encarnacion.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we always talk about Murderers Row, the 1927 Yankees.
Yep.
This is, I think, worse.
Yeah. I mean, they got four guys who are going to hit over 30 home runs this
but
year.
I completely agree with you that, yeah, you know, they're going to be it's going to be a scary lineup for any pitcher to face. But if you have a really decent pitcher, say it's Justin Verlander, say it's the ALCS and it's Astros Yankees, Justin Verlander's not going to be afraid to face those guys. And he's going to mow them down.
Not at all.
And the Yankees don't have anyone to compete against Verlander.
That's the problem. That's the problem. And again, that would make me worried as a Yankee fan if I was, you know, does my team have some arms that can be competitive? Look, CeCe Sabathia is an excellent postseason pitcher. He's an excellent postseason pitcher. But the Yankees' failure over the last couple of years is just not having that one extra starting guy that can just, look, they've got a great bullpen, Aroldis Chapman, they got a good bullpen, Dellin Betances, but they got to get that one extra push from a starter, and they just miss it. They've just missed it. And to me, the Astros are complete because the Astros can hit home runs and get on base, and they can move runners along, and they can pitch. So they can beat you with the long ball, they'll beat you with the short ball, and they'll beat you with the pitching. And the Yankees, if you're one-dimensional going into the playoffs, that's very difficult because you're solely reliant on that one dimension to pop, right? And that's troubling because even if you're a guy that has hit 40 home runs, right, what are you expected to do in a five-game series? Hit seven of them?
Exactly.
Right? I mean, like, again, if that's how you're going to manage your offense, if that's how you're going to do it, you better make sure that you can do it on a whim and against some of the best pitching out there. Because you're going up against some really good, whether it's the Red Sox rotation or the Astros rotation, these are the teams you're going to be facing. And Blake Snell can beat you. So if you get in a one-game playoff, let's say it's a divisional race with the Rays and the Yankees for the playoffs, I like Blake Snell against the Yankees. I mean, this is a one-dimensional team that can get better with pitching Brian Cashman, and I hope he gets it, goes out there and gets another arm. Otherwise, this will be just fun for the summer, and then we'll die out in October.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. So let's talk some travel. Most of us do a little travel throughout the year. I'm going on vacation next week. So how are you booking your hotel rooms? I got a suggestion for you, besthotelrates.com. Besthotelrates.com has negotiated special rates with over 600,000 hotels worldwide, extended these discounts to you. Simply go to besthotelrates.com, plug in your destination, dates of travel. Voila, you're looking at a discounted rate from any of the hotels you could pay for more somewhere else. Save your money. Book your hotels through besthotelrates.com. Top-notch customer service backs up your reservation. So you stay is safe and secure. That's great. Besthotelrates.com. Start planning your next trip today. It's in the name, besthotelrates.com. Our boy Trevor Lawrence was asked by The Athletic. Grace Rayner asked him, would you consider ever sitting out a bowl game to protect your NFL stock in the future? He said, no, absolutely not. Okay, that's cool and all, but it's neat when most of your bowl games are going to be the college football playoff because you're Trevor Lawrence and Clemson is going to be good with you. But what, let's be honest, what if it is the Music City Bowl because your team completely and utterly fell apart? I get the competitive drive and the spirit, Trevor Lawrence, and I love you for it. But really, do not go play in the Music City Bowl if it's your final game of the year before the NFL draft. Unless you really, really love the camaraderie of the team, sit out. It's okay. You'd be all right. You're going to be one of the top players in the draft. Don't worry about it. But I don't know. I've gone back and forth on this issue because I hate to be kind of black and white on this. Like there's the gray area. To me, it's an each for each their own kind of thing. Because if you're in college, and I remember Peyton Manning doing this when he was in school. Remember, Peyton Manning was a junior, and he was going to be, you know, the number one pick in the draft, right? And are you going to come back for your senior year at Tennessee? Are you going to go be the number one pick in the draft? And he had that press conference in Knoxville, and he said, I'm coming back. And people cheered, and Knoxville went crazy. The entire state of Tennessee went crazy. Matt Leinart did it, too. I think a couple of other guys have done that where they've gone on, you know, they've said, nope, I'm staying. And then, you know, the campus erupts. Fantastic. Because there's something about playing college football that is so different and there's a business side of the NFL that's you just don't want to get into. You just want to play, but you know you have to as a player. You got to be part of the union. There's collective bargaining. You know, there's certain things in the NFL that is just too businessy. And while college football is a business, as a student athlete, sometimes you can just enjoy being a student athlete. You could just enjoy the collegiate atmosphere. And as crazy as NFL crowds are, and as exciting as a team is to a city, sometimes that SEC crowd, for example, is just something you don't want to give up just yet at 20, 21 years old. And so I understand, like Trevor Lawrence's initial reaction to the question, would you ever sit out a bowl game to protect your NFL stock? And the answer would be no. One, he's playing right now in 1 year, just 1 year of college football. He is playing at a high enough level to enjoy all of the things college football can give a young quarterback, a young student athlete. There's fame. There is so much attention to your program. There is just general excitement that you are the main part of that's going on the campus and the community. There is something about a Saturday when there's 90, 100,000 people just loaded up in a stadium, and a lot of them students, as crazy as students can be, that you would say, I'm not giving this up for anything. I will have my whole life to deal with the business end of being an NFL quarterback. The contracts, the agents, the owners that don't want to do this, the union that wants to fight back for that, all of those things, I got plenty of time for that. Right now, I just want to enjoy the atmosphere of college football. And a lot of those guys, you know, we used to tease like Matt Leinart, right? Like when Matt Leinart announced, like, yeah, all the girls at USC. It's more than that. There's something about the collegiate game that is so
You're never, ever, 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 ever getting it back. It's gone. It's gone forever. Once you give it up, it's gone. It's never coming back. The game becomes something different. It may be better for some. It may be worse for others. But the game becomes something different, especially in the National Football League. Because the NFL will get rid of you quick when things don't go your way. You know, Josh McCown just announced his retirement after 17 years in the league. How many teams did Josh McCown play for in his time? I think he signed with 10 and played for 7. That's awesome. He's the guy that's bounced around the league so many times. He's now going to be an analyst on ESPN. But he had the kind of career that you would wish if you couldn't be just a long-term starter, then you'd probably want a career like Josh McCown, where you're just making money, just showing up and being on the team in some capacity.
That's not a bad gig.
It's not a bad gig at all. If you can't be like a Peyton Manning or a Drew Brees or an Aaron Rodgers, if you can't be that guy, be Josh McCown, a guy so respected that for 17 years he always found work. Always found a job. Always found a team that was like, yep, come on over. Yeah, we could use a guy like you. Rather than a guy like, I don't know, Nathan Peterman, which becomes the butt of jokes. Oh, and now he's on the Raiders, and we get to enjoy him on Hard Knocks while he struggles and throws picks.
I'm starting to feel bad for Nathan Peterman.
I am too, right?
But
I am too.
We're not going to let up.
But think about how many quarterbacks have come in, flash, then disappear, and we never hear from them again.
Oh,
they
yeah.
do not bounce around. They don't bounce around. They've had their moment. The tape is out. They never adjusted. They never can produce. Coaches know about it, and then they get out of the league, and they wait for the phone to ring, and the phone never rings. Whereas Josh McCown's phone always rang. And it was not for a starting job or anything like that, but it was always because, you know what, we need a guy as a backup that we can trust. You're a guy we can trust. That's a good way to make a living, again, if you can't be a superstar starter. So there's the business end to it. So if you're a collegiate quarterback like Trevor Lawrence, man, you probably are enjoying life so much that you can't imagine ever giving that away. But it would be interesting as he gets older and as he starts realizing where the attention of the university really is with his talent, if he changes his mind in his senior year and the bowl game isn't for a playoff and it isn't a New Year's Six bowl, which, by the way, I highly doubt is ever going to happen to Clemson in the near future with him at quarterback.
That's what I was about to say. I mean, are we really talking about him not playing in a New Year's Six bowl?
Yeah, I mean, he's either the playoff or a major bowl. That's when they ask him this question, they are thinking like Music City Bowl, but in reality, that's not a real thought.
What happened, Trevor, if everyone on your team got injured?
And you were the only one playing, and you went 6-6, and you had to go to Shreveport.
Because that literally will be the only way he's not playing in a
major
bowl.
That's right. I mean, every day Dabo is doing something incredible with recruiting.
And
every
when we're talking about everyone getting injured, it's just not on offense, also on defense. Because Dabo put together a pretty good defense.
Yeah, that's right. So, and that's got to be what Trevor was thinking, right? Like when they asked him, said, would you ever sit out of a bowl? He's probably like, why would I sit out a college football playoff for a national championship game?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Why are you asking me this? What other bowl game are you talking about?
Wanted to know if you'd play in the Belk Bowl.
Right, the Belk. Oh, really? That's a thing? Oh, my God, I thought that was for Wake Forest. I had no idea that was for us. We could go there? I'm sorry. What do you think we are, South Carolina? Just kidding.
He'd probably say that. Come on now.
He probably would.
Throw a little shade towards South Carolina. No big deal.
So no, I'm not talking about the national championship or the college football playoff. I'm talking about the Outback Bowl or something like.
Would you play in the Pinstripe Bowl in December?
What are we, the Gamecocks? What are you talking about? Last time I checked, we were Clemson. We don't go to those things. What are you out of your mind? When do we play Alabama again? That's what are you talking about? Why would I set out a game against Alabama?
Listen, we already set up games against Georgia and Oklahoma. I mean, they're not until 2080, but
right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's
the
other thing. That's the other thing about college, man. It's so I know NFL guys that play for a team for a couple of years, I see it in Denver a lot because Denver's a nice place to live. So you'd see old Broncos that had I don't know, 2 or 3 years with the Broncos, but liked it enough. They bought a house, and after their playing days, it may have finished up in Baltimore or Jacksonville, but they come back and live in Denver. But you see this in college all the time. These guys that are on these championship level teams, because man, the living is good. If you can make a living, even if you're a flame out in the NFL, like, oh, he was supposed to make it big, but he didn't make it big. You could go back to old State U if you want to see it in Alabama all the time. You want to state a championship? You can make a living just going to restaurants and telling stories or whatever it is that you know, tell us about the time you guys beat Notre Dame, and then just rip off about a big old story about the touchdown you scored and whatnot. People can't get enough of that. Open up a car dealership or something and can't get enough.
Get your
they
name
love
painted
you
on a water tower.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, college, they love their own, especially if you want a title. Oh, my God. You don't even have to win a title. I mean, South Carolina, for example, those guys stay in Columbia, for crying out loud.
I mean, if Trevor Lawrence really likes Clemson that much, I mean, he could probably become mayor today.
Just run for office. South Carolina had a quarterback named Steve Tannehill who was so popular that he stayed in the state. He was from Pennsylvania. He stayed in the state, and now last time I checked, like 4 or 5 years ago, he's a high school football coach. But people still go up to him all the time and talk about, oh, man, I remember that game when you beat Clemson, or I remember that game in which you beat Florida State, or whatever it is. And people love that. I mean, some people just, that's their thing. So, but I'm glad Trevor Lawrence, says he would never sit out a game, because you know what? College football is better when he plays. But we'll see in a couple of years, he might change his mind when he realizes, hey, I'm not really getting anything, and Clemson's getting a lot of money for my number 16 jersey. I'm really kind of really kind of wondering why I'm not getting a piece of this pie. All right, 800-777-2907. It's Tony D, Ron Culver. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. This song is one of the best lines. Things that pass for knowledge I don't understand. Steely Dan. So, I like this song. God, I wanted to just listen to it, but I can't. I got to get moving.
Yeah, they tend to frown on doing those type of things, right?
You know, yeah, right. Otherwise, we become a rock station. Exactly. I don't want to do that.
You listeners out there, just take a break like Tony and Ron.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to take a break. We're going to take this segment off.
I brought this up at the top of the hour, and I want to revisit this. So the NBA, did you think the NBA looks at the NFL and says, my God, I wish we could do our draft like that? I wish we could take it on the road like this and have a party and a big festival. We're a popular league. We're not like Major League Baseball, where the draft doesn't make any sense to people, or the NHL, where it's so niche it just would be embarrassing if it didn't explode. We could take this to the Staples Center. We could take this to the Toyota Center. We could take this to different arenas around the country and have a real festival. But the problem is, because we're only two rounds and it's a Thursday night primetime, it's not going to look the same. It's not going to feel the same.
No, but they could.
We're not going to have a Comic-Con of the NBA, for example.
It definitely won't be a Comic-Con, but what they could do is just have one big blowout night. They could certainly, because, I mean, what is a draft really? I mean, the NFL draft has literally turned into an award show. We all tune in for the opening round. Now, the second and third day, we have a passing interest if we're not in attendance.
I asked a friend of mine, I said, when did you go to the draft? He goes, Saturday. I go, what did you get out of that? Like, besides just hanging around? I mean, did you even know any of the players that were drafted? He goes, no. I go, really? Because he's an NFL fan, but he's not the most diehard NFL/college football fan, but he loved going down there.
Yeah, but they could certainly, the NBA could certainly make it a good street party.
Yeah, that's true. The thing about the NBA is that the second round guys are guys you heard of.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you follow college basketball, you know the second round
And it's
guys.
Like what you said at the top of the hour. In the NBA, the NBA draft, a team's fortune could change in an
instant.
Yep. You know, in the NFL, sometimes.
That's the thing, right?
When the Colts drafted Peyton Manning, you knew there was going to be change. When they drafted Andrew Luck, you knew there was going to be change. But anybody else, any other person, any other team or player that gets drafted, it, you know, you're really just rolling the dice.
That's the thing. Arizona, for example, drafts Kyler Murray, and it's still like, well, we'll see. I mean, it's exciting. It should, but we don't know. But like Zion Williams, if you're a Pelicans fan, Zion Williamson changes your franchise.
Well, this year, more than any, this would be a fantastic year to take it on the road. I know it's too late, but it would have been a fantastic year to take it on the road because you had the, you know, what had transpired now where the Pelicans get the top pick and they get four.
Oh, and they get the fourth pick. It's amazing.
So this, I mean, you're looking at a team like, oh, this is something to get behind. This is be entertaining. This will be fun. Let's see what the Pelicans can do with it.
Yeah, but listen, if you're Adam Silver, it's like, God, it's not so much the economic value of taking this on the road. It was just the jealousy of watching a 3-day complete and utter celebration of everything that is their league, the NFL, their league. And if you're the NBA with all of the things that you have going for you, I'm sure Adam Silver looked at that and said, you know what? I'd love that someday.